Today the Easter story continues. As we read the Gospel, we get to know the disciples of Jesus. We know about the disciples so much that if I should ask you anything about them, you are able to say something about each of them. But I won't ask you today. You may be also able to say more about certain disciples. And if I test you today and ask you to write down the first thing or words that come to mind about each of the disciples, it is unlikely that all of you would write or say the same thing. And this is where I need your help. When I say the name of Thomas as one of Jesus' disciples, what conjures up in your mind? What one word pops in your mind? What word pops in your mind? When I say Thomas, speak with assurance. Doubting. Doubting Thomas. As we look at the gospel closely, we come to realize how interesting they are. In the case of Thomas, Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell us nothing about Thomas except naming him as one of the 12 apostles of Jesus. However, it is in the Gospel of John that we hear something more about Thomas. But even in John, there is not a whole lot about Thomas. But the little we hear leaves a certain impression on our mind that makes him a popular guy, particularly of what he did, or perhaps what he failed to do. But interestingly, within the story, that same story where we derive the name Doubting Thomas, we do not recognize in that same story the remarkable confession of faith uttered by Thomas. Remember, it was not until Thomas witnessed the second appearance of Jesus to the disciples and he physically saw and touched Jesus that he made the stunning confession, "My Lord and my God," as we see recorded in verse 28. This is a profound statement, a statement which comes from deep conviction, that comes from deep down within the heart of Thomas. Perhaps it is a good thing throughout the course of history that we remember Thomas as a doubter. See, Scripture tells us that he had a difficult time believing the account of his fellow disciples in relation to the appearance of his friend Jesus in his absence. And you know, we say disparaging things about Thomas, and some even have the tendency to ridicule him for his disbelief. But how many of us today refuse to believe that Jesus is Lord? How many people in today's world, right in our community, refuse to believe the truth about our risen Lord? Perhaps Thomas felt the news was too great to be true, to believe. Verse 25 tells us, Thomas said, "Unless I see the nail holes in his hands, put my finger in the nail holes and stick my hand in his side, I won't believe." How different are we from Thomas? How many of us won't believe unless we have the hard facts, the scientific proof? The strange thing is that even though some of us see authentic evidence, we still would not believe. But thanks be to God for the example of Thomas. But have you ever wondered why Thomas was not present to witness the first appearance of Jesus? What Thomas did is what so many of us do. We separate ourselves from the community of faith, and therefore at times we miss out on the blessings of Jesus Christ. You see, you never know what would happen when you make that special effort to be present with your faith community. And thankfully, the story did not conclude with the first appearance of Jesus to his disciples. The writer of John tells us the second time Jesus appeared to the disciples, Thomas was most present. You see, Thomas is not making the same mistake twice. With such revelation, he had no choice but to believe. And as we look at the whole narrative and Thomas' reaction, what can we say today, we who are living in the 21st century, what can we learn from it? First, one of the things we notice is that in spite of Thomas's doubt, Jesus did not chastise him for disbelieving at first. And if you have doubts, let me make it clear that Thomas, like Thomas, Jesus never blames any one of us for our shortcomings, for the time when we mess up, from the time when we strayed from him. He is never, and nor will he ever be happy when we as his followers stumble and fall. You see, it is the expectation that we will make mistakes at times. Romans 3:23 reminds us that we all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. Remember, even though Thomas failed, Jesus did not cast him out. You see, I believe Jesus did not do that because he knew once he provided the opportunity to Thomas, he would come to terms with his own doubts and believe. If you say that you have no doubts at times, I have doubts about you. I have doubts at times. But as I turn my doubts over to God, I feel a sense of relief and growth in faith. You see, because you are a people of faith doesn't mean that you won't have doubts at times. And I would hope that in your time of doubt, that you would experience Jesus Christ in a special way and grow in your faith. Sometimes in our doubts, all we can do is cry out, Lord, help my unbelief. Such was the case of the father in Mark 9:14 to 29, who took his son, unable to speak, to be healed by Jesus. And Jesus said to the Father, if you are able, all things can be done for the one who believes. Immediately the boy father cries out, I believe, help my unbelief. And the boy was healed. Secondly, we come to learn from this passage that in this Christian life and life of faith, there are very important things and situations that may never be proven. It was Jesus who said to Thomas in verse 29, you believe because you have seen me, but blessed are those who have not seen me and yet come to believe. I do not know about you, but I will never have the chance to physically put my finger in the actual nail scar of Jesus. I would never be able to reach into his wounded side. You see, unlike Thomas, Jesus is aware that it is not easy It's not an easy thing for us to believe what we have not physically witnessed. And that is why he says, blessed are we who believe, even though we have not seen. The Apostle Paul reminds us in Hebrews 11 that the fundamental facts of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, the firm foundation under everything, underlines everything that makes life worth living. Put another way that you may be more familiar with. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. John Wesley, an ordained Anglican priest and founder of Methodism, had some struggles as well. He too had some doubts. And so he went to his friend and mentor, Peter Bowler, an English-German missionary, a Moravian missionary and bishop, about what was bothering him. And Bowler's response to John Wesley was, preach faith till you have it. And then, because you have it, you will preach faith. Finally, another thing we learn from this narrative is that it teaches us to let go of doubt and hold firmly unto faith. Blessed are those who believe and have not seen. And as we continue to live this life, we will experience unbelief because it is part of the normal order of our life. Where the problem comes is if we allow our unbelief to dictate the life we live. We need to surpass doubt and reach for belief and faith. And so I believe whenever we enter into God's house for worship, we need to come with a believing attitude, one that would help to strengthen our faith and relationship with Christ and others. See, there are times in our lives when our faith is shaken, when we grieve over the loss of a loved one or relationship or some other situation, when we experience great disappointment. There are times when we are in deep pain that moves beyond the 1 to 10 scale, where our health is threatened and causes us to be up late hours of the night, scared to sleep. There are times when families go through one crisis after another. We hear the phrase, better days are coming. And when we look at our predicament, it only seems to get worse. There are times when things just put a strain on our relationship with God. So my sisters and brothers, when those moments of doubts come, never give up. Never give up. There are times when these are the times when we should cry out from the depths of our heart, from deep down within, Lord, help my unbelief. Never doubt what God can do. Stop doubting. And believe. Believe that Christ is alive. And because you believe that Christ is alive, the Church of Christ is alive today because Jesus is alive forevermore. So my sisters and brothers, when doubt comes your way, my hope is that you will have the strength, that you would have the courage to cry out, Lord, help my unbelief. For blessed are those who have not seen, yet come to believe. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.